The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, back from New York City. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, available as always on iTunes and at nfl.com/Sheck. Yeah, it's time for our first post-draft podcast. We're back from a week in New York City. It was grand. It was sunny. The week started off with me and Eric Decker and Adam Rank and our pal Daniel Jeremiah jumping into a horse-drawn carriage in Central Park and taking a spin around. It was positively gay. It got more fun as the week went along. I think the highlight of the draft was probably being in Radio City Music Hall with that Johnny Manziel buzz. It really was something to behold. I think this was the fourth draft, or maybe the fifth draft, that I've actually been inside Radio City Music Hall for, and the electricity in there was unlike anything I've ever felt before. From about pick 8-ish on, you figured he might go as high as 2 even, and he might go at 4, and then once it got to 8/9 with the Vikings moving around, and from there, the electricity just accelerated until he finally got drafted. And I'm telling you, it's a good thing. I was rooting for the Cowboys just for the story of it going forward, not just the night of the draft, but for the entire 2014 season. Dallas Cowboys with Tony Romo and Johnny Football on the same roster with Jerry overseeing the whole thing would have been grand stuff. But if he would have been drafted, I feel sure that the place would have just imploded and we all would have been buried under the rubble, because that's how hot it was in there for a few minutes when Manziel's name was being floated around. All right, let's talk about all of it, first of all, with my man.
Can I jump in real quick?
You may.
Isn't it funny how when we were kids, we never talked of implosions? It was always the place would have exploded.
Oh, yeah. True.
But because of these Las Vegas made-for-TV events where we watch casinos implode, That's now our go-to. We now say, oh, the place would have imploded. It would have been a cloud of dust and we would have been buried in it. It's remarkable how that's changed from our childhood to exploding things and watching pieces just be strewn about everywhere to now imploding. And it being a cloud of dust, and that being the term of destruction.
Boy, he always gives us something to think about. I'm speaking, of course, of the man with the baritone voice there, dropping those insights from the College Football 24/7 podcast, which you can hear one last one post-draft review, and then they'll probably take a month off for, you know, doing about 4 months worth of great work of pre-draft review. It's Matt Money Smith. What's the poop, fella?
Good to be back. Thanks for having us.
Pleasure.
Had a great time last time
we were here. Oh, it was a wonderful time, and the listener agreed. They went wild for it, especially among the many things we did, draft analysis and so on, and Lakers talk and all that. But the thing that really stood out was your heroic effort. Of course, you came up short. No human being could actually achieve the feat that you attempted, which was to name 10 movies that producer Black Tie Behind the Glass has seen. He's seen 4 movies. The math doesn't work. You can't get to 10 when he's only seen 4.
I felt so good after those first two.
All right. Let's, as I was saying earlier, my man seated to my immediate right, also doing gangbusters work in New York City all last week, including something that you will see or maybe have seen, depending on when you're listening, on the upcoming Sheck Report. And also you can find it on NFL Fan Pass, I believe. You got together with, it's Adam Rank, what's the poop?
Hey, boss, thanks for having me.
Sure.
A little weird hitting out of order. It's like Mike Trout getting moved down to the 3 spot, coming in behind Matt Money Smith, who's setting the table for us here.
Well, I just jumped you is what happened.
Happened.
I looked
at
Socia's lineup card, and I said, the hell with this. And I scratched it out myself, and I ran it up to the umpire and handed it in.
That is always, you know, and we've been talking about that for weeks. Speaking of doing something like that, is I had a chance, because I got a hold of the commissioner outside of Radio City Music Hall on Wednesday night, and that was one of the questions I was going to ask him, if he would ever override somebody's pick.
I think that would be what fun that would be. Like Cowboys, Zach Martin. I know you have the need there, but the Cowboys take Johnny Manziel, Texas A&M quarterback.
But it proves that he would never do that, because when they announced that Blake Bortles was the 3rd overall selection of the Jacksonville Jaguars, I literally, not figuratively, literally jumped out of my seat. Could not believe
jumped.
I was I literally jumped.
Like it, one of those dudes on the in the green shot when they're watching one of those horror films, you know? Yeah. That somehow this man, this middle-aged man, has literally leapt out of his seat. He's so terrified by paranormal activity.
Should be the promo that we see for 2015 NFL right. draft. He's like, watch the audience's reaction. You won't believe what's going to happen.
Look at Adam Rank right there. Well, in fairness, everybody, I'm sitting in the last row of the lower bowl. So everybody's already standing because there was a lot of buzz the whole night. So I'm sitting while everybody else is standing when they call Blake Bortles. You stood up.
And now I'm up.
All right, let's bring him in here too. The last guy here in Studio 66, another guy who's been doing sublime work, Bucky Brooks, on the draft. I've seen you on the network talking. I hear you on the podcast. I see you on the .com, so on and so forth. What's the poop? I want to get into the whole, we have time is short, so we want to get into your draft grades as much as we possibly can. Good week for you, though, Buck. And by the way, I got to say, the high water mark of just about anything anybody did was in the moments after Johnny Football went and the moments preceding it, like I say, it was unlike anything in that joint that I'd ever really seen. And, you know, he had a gaggle of reporters and hangers-on and autograph seekers, probably 100 dragging up the aisles of Radio City Music Hall. And Johnny Football was plopped in a chair next to Bucky Brooks, and that was a tense moment. That is not easy to shut out all the people looking at you, flashing cameras at you, leaning in to hear what you're asking them in this big moment. It was 10 minutes probably after he got picked, and you were gangbusters with him. So kudos on that.
Oh, thanks. That's been a long time coming. Johnny Football and I struck up a relationship probably about a year ago. I've been waiting on the opportunity to do it, but it was exciting to see it. It was more exciting, like, my son was there to it.
Dad was great. That really was cool.
Big time Johnny Football fan, and so that opportunity, I'm gonna give him credit. Like all of the guys were great, but they all were great with little man. But Johnny took time and kind of dapped him up and hood him up, and now I might have.
You got a Browns fan at home.
We might have a burgeoning Browns fan.
Bucky, I counseled him on that. I told your boy, I said, enough of this Dallas Cowboys jazz. What are you going to do, go 8-8 forever? That's not good enough. This is time to jump in on something new here. Yeah, I encouraged him. He didn't care.
Why not jump into the factory of sadness?
Yeah, right.
Real good.
I mean, he's already there with the Cowboys. So.
True enough. That's a savvy move, though. Because now, you know what? Next year, if I'm lucky enough to go to the draft, I'm bringing the baby Claire Danes. And then nobody. So if you ever have a tough interview, you're like, "Oh, here's my niece." Before you sit down, like, totally take
Who's the
edge baby? Off.
What do you mean, Claire Danes?
Baby Claire. She looks like.
Oh, you have a baby.
She looks like a.
You understand when you say that?
I'm like, wait a minute.
The people in this room.
Somehow, Rank is related to Claire Danes. I know she's short, but man, calling her a baby, that's cool.
The listener in Florida and in the UK
all right.
have no idea what that means.
All right. Actually, more people than you believe will know who that is.
Right. The baby Claire Danes.
Is my niece.
So you're going to bring a baby, a prop, in other words.
She looks like a 4-year, or excuse me, a 5-year-old version of Claire Danes.
All right. Before we jump into anything else here, you bring up Johnny Football, or maybe I did, but let's talk about the fact. You know, the thing that now I'm hearing a lot of, Buck, is this. Well, I talked to Johnny Football after he got drafted, and boy, he really seems like a together kid. You know, I don't know what all this stuff is. I anoint him now, ready to go. He's going to behave himself and be good. How much can anybody really glean from that? And how important? I mean. How much of the process now, as you look back on that, is the psychology of the guy? To me, I've long said that if you grow up in a certain class of family, a difference as you move forward in society is the ability to articulate yourself. You don't have to be smart, but if you can articulate yourself, right. It creates the sense that you're bright.
Absolutely.
Johnny Football has been in the spotlight for 2 years, so of course he's ahead of the curve. Doesn't he get unfairly sort of kissed in over those other guys who are kind of, you know, they're college kids who are 19? This is Johnny Football who's been hanging out with Drake and so on for the last couple of years.
Well,
right?
Absolutely. He's definitely wily and savvy, and he has the gift of gab. He's very, very polished for what he is. He may be, 21 years old? he is a very polished guy when you put him in front of the mic, and I think he has a keen understanding of the moment. He understands how to play the game, and I think he understands it in all aspects, which is why I believe that he was a first-round pick. Because remember, there was a lot of conversation about, man, this guy, he's a wild child. We won't like him. We won't like the personality. But I think by the end of the process, we have far more people convinced that Johnny Football could be the face of the franchise than many thought would happen at the end of the regular season.
It's funny because I said, I know I've been saying this for a long time now, but I've said as long ago as October, enough with this nonsense. This the reporters getting up on Mount Pius. I don't know about Jadeveon Clowney and his he's quit on his team. This is disconcerting, and I don't know if you want this kid. So on and so. Of course, he went first overall. Of course, he did that. It was a business decision. You can't constantly talk about how pro football is a business and then do anything other than really hail the guy who's playing the system. Of course, he's not allowed to go pro. So he doesn't want to get hurt and ruin the million-dollar brand, which is himself. Right, Money?
Oh, no question. I mean, we never veered from that once on the podcast. I don't think there was ever a single moment from the end of the college football season until Thursday's draft, May 8th, that we said, oh, they're going to go Bortles or they're going to go Khalil Mack. Between Bucky and DJ, it was, no, it'll be Jadeveon Clowney. And anything else is just, you know, because this is an elongated process and you have to create a storyline. But outside of that, that man will be drafted first because he looks unlike any other player in the draft or any draft that we've seen the last 10 years.
How much do you think that, or how surprised, I guess, were you when the name Blake Bortles was called out? Rank Lord. Jumped out of his seat.
I didn't literally jump out of my seat, but sitting next to Matt Millen doing it for .com, we both had an audible gasp. A whoa! You know, when you hear that in Radio City Music Hall, you're like, why do people say whoa? And you're like, oh, wait a minute, I said whoa. And, you know, I mean, it created an audible reaction because, you know, as we talked about on the college football podcast, it is hard to keep secrets. I mean, it's damn near impossible to keep secrets. You would have had, they're thinking about quarterback. You know, don't be surprised. They're thinking about maybe taking a quarterback. And that was not the case at all. Nobody saw that coming, and that never happens.
And you were saying, Muddy, I was listening to you on your great radio show, AM 570, and you can find it on iHeartRadio, the Petros and Muddy show. On Fox Sports Radio, I was listening to you tell the tale of you and Matt Millen off camera talking about the surprises and the nature of hiding things from the media and how you can actually get away with doing that. In the 21st century, it seems near impossible, but Matt Millen says it's so.
His point was, he said, look, guys like Bucky and DJ and these former scouts, they have sources. And he's like, but they're never going to get more than 40 to 50% of the information. They just they don't have access to the other 50 to 60%. So understand, yeah, there's something there, but there's so much more that's kept away from them. And he said specifically the medical, which we will never share, teams will never share with anyone because fear of retribution. Maybe your doctor found something that other doctors didn't find, and that's a big taboo subject, so that'll never get out there. And he said you never really share the true order of your board. You just don't, you know, it's just the way it is. So it's interesting that we think you have all this information, and certainly they have more than the typical Joe, but you know, you only have half of it, and that leaves a lot.
I know, but you know what's funny about that is that there's the boy who cried wolf we know about. I can't believe that somebody isn't tracking this. Somebody should be seeing which GMs cry wolf more than any others. Hey, Gus Bradley was fairly honest with us, and therefore when he says things in the future, we can trust him. And when another guy is not, just don't believe anything he says. He's a complete liar, right?
There was a story where DJ was on the phone with the Jags GM going through all these players, and right when it got to the point where DJ was going to ask him about Blake Bortles, he hung up. He said, you know what, I got a call on the other line, I got to go.
Oh, really?
Because he didn't want to lie to him.
Jeremiah was,
yeah,
on,
was
the
on with Caldwell.
I didn't see that.
Was on with Caldwell, who's a good friend of his, you know, and he just said he had to go.
It's tough. I've learned to leave those guys alone. Like in the week or two leading up to it, I just kind of let them be because a lot of what you hear is they want you to take certain things. They want you to carry your bone back in. Mm-hmm. We kind of have a gentleman's agreement. Like, I'm not going to be played like that. Like, don't play me like that because I end up with egg on my face. But it's funny, you get your best analysis from your scouting friends during the fall. And so you have to document it. You need to write it down somewhere and keep it in that notebook because that is when they really feel they can be honest with you because they're looking for another set of eyes to kind of confirm a little bit of what they've seen because they don't want to be out on that island. But once the calendar flips and the regular season's over, anything that you necessarily hear from them, you really have to kind of weigh it and sift through it and make sure they're giving you the real.
Yeah, and something that Millen said was that their board, and I don't know if this was your experience with Seattle and Carolina, Bucky, but he said their board's done in January. He's like, for the most part, he's like, we're done in January. So everything we do between January and, you know, in his time with the Lions in April, you know, it's like you said, they're trying to flip a bone out there to see what they can do and maybe help their position.
That's why when you hear about these meteoric rises and falls and those things, it's not true, because the board is set immediately after the regular season, right before you go to the All-Star game. Some teams set it after the All-Star games, but it's done prior to going to the combine. And so,
even with Ziggy Ansah, Ziggy Ansah soared up the boards after the season, right? A year ago?
He put in some big work
at BYU.
He put some big work, and people really liked him or whatever. But when I talk about what happens after the combine in terms of the adjustments on the board, it is – I have Adam Rank and Money Smith, similar grades. Now I go see those work out. I'm like, I think Money's a better athlete, so we'll put Money over top.
But it's not
a situation where, okay, I have Money and Adam here, and then I have Michael Fabiano way down here. But Michael Fabiano did a great combine, so I'm going to take him from the bottom of the third round and put him all the way up to the top. It doesn't work like that. That is fantasy land. It doesn't work like that in the draft room.
Just because Money is going to bounce out of here in just a second, we can look up everybody's grades and all that. But, again, to paraphrase what you said yesterday, Money, draft grades are predicated on the man who's writing them.
Absolutely.
On what he thought the team should do. And when the teams don't do that, then they downgrade them. And when they do what he thinks when the team does what he thinks they should, then they get an A. It's magical. So, I frankly don't really care much about anybody's draft grades. They just they're self-validation, basically. What team, though, Money, or teams now are maybe going to make the playoffs or at least going to be in contention because of the draft?
Well, ahead? I know what trail you're leading me down, because you want to hear both Bucky and I say your Pittsburgh Steelers. But that,
no,
I think, but
I'm
I,
not
but
so,
I think I, that's part and parcel because we're not used to the Steelers not making the playoffs.
No, but let me interrupt you with that.
I know.
Dick LeBeau, let me just say, Dick LeBeau, the defensive coordinator, has a hard time integrating rookies into his system.
He does.
The idea that suddenly, well, because there's a need that these guys are now going to be playing, that they're going to be magically great as rookies.
But
the
as
bigger question is Jarvis Jones.
Exactly.
He's the question mark. Is he going to emerge in his sophomore year?
As you mentioned, Dick LeBeau, I just look at Shazier and Jarvis Jones, and that is, I mean, you want to talk about two Dick LeBeau guys just turning them loose, blitzing the hell out of the quarterback from that linebacker position.
Don't forget about Timmons with his speed.
Exactly.
And Worlds can replicate what he did in the second half of last season, the linebackers are mighty.
I'll let Bucky take it on Tuitt. We're getting kind of mixed reviews on Tuitt. Some people like him, versatile lineman. Other people say not enough lead in that ass, and maybe not as violent as you'd like a guy that plays that position to be.
I think at his best, he's Richard Seymour.
Hmm.
At his worst, he's what they've had there. Brett Keisel, Aaron Smith. He's just a solid guy that occupies it for the linebackers. The 3-4 defense is built for the linebackers to make plays.
I'm surprised you diminish Aaron Smith. You lump him in there as though he was a mediocre guy. A lot of guys, and I have no ability to evaluate a guy who can suck up two linemen the way he did for a decade.
You don't earn Pro Bowl nods for sucking up linemen. You earn Pro Bowl nods for being disruptive and creating headaches. He didn't necessarily do that. He allowed those other guys, the James Harrisons, the Lamar Woodley, the other linebackers, to make work. So in that Pittsburgh defense, those guys are the sacrificial lambs. They're the ones that give themselves up to allow those other players to make plays. So in saying that Stephon Tuitt, if he plays at a high level, he's Richard Seymour, meaning he not only does that, but he also makes a handful of plays. If he doesn't, he's a guy that occupies space and allows those other guys to do work.
And to build on your point about the playoffs, you know, it's again, me giving a grade to a team that did what I wanted to see done, and that's that I wanted to see Deion Buchanan get taken in the first round. He's a safety that, you know, again, I'm biased. I got to see him in person play, and he is nasty. I mean, he's what a safety should be. I mean, he strikes fear into opposing wide receivers. Their head is on a swivel when they start running their routes, knowing he's back there. You pair him up with Tyrann Mathieu. With that secondary and a team that won double-digit games last year, and to me, that's just a perfect fit. And I like Troy Nicholas as well. They did not. I like Hausler, but they didn't really have a good, solid tight end, and now they do. So I really like those two picks for Arizona.
You know, I think what's funny, what Money's talking about, the safety position is now a marquee position. follow the money, and the money tells you what people think about everything. Free agency, we saw these guys get paid. Jairus Byrd, some of the other safeties get paid.
It's a copycat league, and when you watch the Seahawks best players being their safeties. Yeah.
And even now, when we're trying to legislate some of the big hits out the game, I have, in private conversations, heard from defensive coordinators, oh, no, that doesn't go anywhere, because you have to have a guy in the middle of the field like a Deion Buchanan who sets the tone. We always call it, he's the IRS. He makes them pay taxes, because you cannot let people walk through the middle of the field. And so to have a banger in the middle, it discourages quarterbacks from throwing the ball down and make them go to the perimeter. Yeah. That is important. Because
and remember, he led the Pac-12 in picks last year. He had 6 interceptions, so this isn't just a guy that drops the hammer. I mean, he's got pass-catching skills. As well.
Now, listen, first of all, let me say that I think you two work beautifully together, but neither one of you has answered my question. So you're saying the Cardinals, that's your answer.
That's a nasty division, which is
right.
But I think the needs that they may have had, they already had a strength in the back end of that defense. They improved it even more, and the fact they get a pass catching tight end for Carson Palmer, I think, upgrades that team.
I will say this about Tamani is kudos. He said it a year ago that the sleeper of the draft, the guy who fell way too far, who's going to be the star, was Keenan Allen. And Keenan Allen, of course, jump in on it, Bucky.
Anyone who loved
him some Keenan Allen as well, yeah.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, listen, I love the Austin Safarian
Tampa Bay
Jenkins
Buccaneers.
Pick.
Here you go. You got the big basketball team in the passing game. You got Josh McCown, who gets to do exactly what he did in Chicago. Jeff Tedford is underrated in terms of a play caller. Like, I know it kind of went bad for him.
But his rep is the QB whisper or whatever people called him over the years, ignores the fact that only Aaron Rodgers ever turned out to be a good pro quarterback.
It's about Kelly Smith.
It's about what they did.
In the college game.
That's when he coached him, though.
That's when he was coaching
them. He can't help. They messed him up.
He's not coaching Joey Harrington in Detroit.
Well, listen, you want to take a kid who played for Jeff Tedford because he teaches kids how to play quarterback. Well, not at the pro level, he doesn't.
You know what's funny? And look what happened when he kind of got away from his guys. You know, he took Longshore and, like, Zach Maynard. It's funny. That's the only reason why Maynard ended up at Cal is because he's Keenan Allen's stepbrother or half-brother, I think is what he is. So he would have never got Keenan Allen to come out there from Carolina.
So he took one. He took one for the team.
He took one, and it cost him his job.
All right, real quick with money before he walks out the door. Tom Savage, is he really going to start? I love the Texans draft, by the way. I love it. I love what they. I love that they replace Owen Daniels, essentially, with Federowitz.
It's
a hard one.
It is.
Hard.
Hey, Kirk Ferentz knows how to make tight ends that work in the NFL, man.
They get the linemen that we're talking about.
Xavier Sofield, I love that guy.
Are they really going to throw that guy in to be there to drive the ship?
The point I brought
here
up to Bucky is don't forget what Matt McGloin was. When he showed up at Penn State, he took a walk-on and won games with him and gave him an NFL career. I mean, Matt McGloin is in the NFL on a roster.
Interesting.
And that's Bill O'Brien. You know, he took Matt Castle, in New England, and a guy that never took a snap really in college, and made him a $50 million man in the NFL. So certainly this guy's got something going.
Here's the deal. Here's where he would tell Tom Savage when he comes in. Don't turn the ball over. Allow your guys to do work. Tom Savage goes into a situation where Andre Johnson, Newt Hopkins, talk about Fedorowicz in at tight end, a defense that is stellar. The only thing you tell him is don't mess it up. If he doesn't mess it up, they're going to win games because they're more talented than the majority of the teams in the National Football League. Tom Savage avoids the turnover, makes a couple plays when he gets his opportunity. He will be a good player, much like those Patriots quarterbacks have always been.
All right, we're going to let money walk out of here. Are you going too, Buck, or are you going to hang in to Kibitz
some whatever
more?
You want.
I want you to stay in Kibitz is what I want.
And by the way, because I don't want to look like a homer, I'll let Bucky sing the praises of Phil Emery and what those Bears were able to put together.
That's what I want to talk about that division
in
general.
I don't want to go there. I love what the Packers did, too.
But did you like that they didn't go for the safety and they went for the cornerback?
Well, I like Brock Vereen, though. I mean, but that's me just, again,
Brock
some bias there. That's the thing about Phil Emery that I guess I've noticed now in 3 years is he likes sort of raw talented dudes, and that's kind of what Brock Vereen is. Is he a corner? Is he a safety? He's an athlete. Tough. He's sharp. I mean, you just see his brother Shane and how, you know, how pliable he is for the New England Patriots, and that's kind of what Brock is on defense. So you have a safety, and you'll talk about Kyle Fuller and how he can play safety as well. He can play slot corner. He can come in at the nickel. He can play an outside if Tillman or Jennings get hurt because they're older. He's do everything. Will Sutton, you know, if you follow the Pac-12, when that dude was 280 pounds, he was a nightmare on the interior of a line. You know, I mean, the reason why Vontaze Burfict ended up doing what he was doing is because Will Sutton was controlling the middle of that line for him. So the fact that he's going to shave some weight, it's a real interesting draft. I mean, there's some impressive dudes there.
Plus getting Christian Jones.
Plus getting Christian Jones?
From Florida
the
State.
The linebacker from Florida State.
Oh, gosh. I was thinking the punter from Florida that they got.
Pat O'Donnell.
There you go. Pat O'Donnell.
Pat O'Donnell. But that's still a smart pick, too. I mean, you look at what, like,
he's
Steve
punter.
Was.
He's a punter.
All right. Yeah. Money's walking out of the door here. But as you do, you're an NBA, wise an NBA voice as there is. Oof. Clips or Thunderclaps.
Thunder. I think it'll go seven.
I agree with you.
Go
Why
seven.
Is everybody now is anointed the Clip. Oh, the Clippers are now going to win the series. No, I really don't believe that that's the case.
It's funny. They did the whole
pull a miracle to get even in the series.
They
I think OKC's going to end up.
It was that MVP speech, man. That MVP speech, I think, changed everything. You know, the team got blown out by 40 points. Kevin Durant versus Russell Westbrook. Why is Westbrook taking all these shots? He makes this big speech. You're so important to me, veteran leader Caron Butler. I love you, Russell Westbrook. Hmm. Westbrook's putting up Oscar Robertson numbers, 26 points, 9 boards, 8 assists. I mean, that's too much for the Clippers.
They're a desperately flawed team, I think, for one that's so good. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is Westbrook, even in these playoffs, you can simply not keep him from getting south of the foul line. He gets in the lane whenever he wants to against whoever he's playing.
It's a matchup league, though. Basketball is so different than football. It's so different watching NBA.
Well, one dude changes everything in basketball.
It's a matchup
They can't
thing.
Stop Kevin Durant.
So
they can't stop Russell Westbrook.
I think the Clippers are a better team than Oklahoma City.
I agree.
But
overall,
I think San Antonio
will
absolutely blow through the Clippers. Whereas if they played Oklahoma City, I think San Antonio would have a tougher time playing Oklahoma City than they will.
Yeah,
LA Clippers.
I guess the thing I love the Spurs. It's a soccer team on a basketball court.
It's
the way they move the ball, how they execute, and
that's who they are. Barcelona.
Barcelona. There you go.
That's
exactly.
All Black Tie can do is make comparisons with soccer.
I mean, why does it have to be Barcelona? Why can't they be Real? Why can't they be why can't they be Man City? They just won the EPL on Sunday. Why can't you celebrate a premiership? Huh? Why does it have to be Barcelona?
It can't be Man City because.
You go Fiorentina,
huh?
It'd be any of these teams. Can be any of these teams.
Real quick, just to bring up this last point on Kevin Durant's MVP speech. I mean, watching
you're trying to get money out of here.
I know, but here's
your point. How could he go out into the day without hearing your point?
It was such a great speech, by the way, that NBA TV turned that into like its own 30-minute show. But question is, after watching that, you can't tell me that for the great athletes, that winning an MVP / Hall of Fame induction. That's way more important than winning a title, isn't it? Like, you see those speeches, and it's like, this is what these guys have worked for. Like, the title
but
thing
they're
is
not
a
given
means to an end.
They're not given an opportunity to make a speech after the title.
No, it's different.
Well, you know?
It's a means.
And because understand, too, the title happens in a moment. You know, it happens, and then you're a champion, and, you know, the MVP, he wins it. He's got 2 days to reflect upon this award that he's won and what it means to him and craft a speech. And figure out what message he wants to convey.
It's just more of satisfaction from a personal, individual point of view because this is what you worked so hard for.
Well, I mean, I think they're two-pronged. I think being recognized as the MVP in the NBA, it's your peers saying that you're the best dude or they see you as the best. Like, it's kind of game-recognizing game. Winning the title, that's the ultimate. Like, being a champion, it's a crowning achievement on your career, but it's completely different.
I have no doubt that more guys would say, if they're being honest, that they'd rather get into the Hall of Fame than win a Super Bowl.
Well, it's a small fraternity. It's funny. I bumped into Andre Reed at the draft. When I was a rookie, he was my teammate.
That's out there with Andre Reed.
But he...
get him on a podcast.
Is that Pat O'Brien?
I was having some coffee out there. I was in Midtown Manhattan. You know, I share the 88th floor with Jeets over there at Trump Tower. I came down. I saw Andre Reed. I said, "Hey, Andre,
wait, you know famous people?"
I do. You know what he said to me? "Hey, Pat." That's all I got. That's all I got. Oh, that's not it, actually. I saw Matthew Broderick. He was getting coffee at Dean and DeLuca. I went and I said, what's happening, Matt? You know what he said to me? Hey, Pat.
More impressions from the sports world and beyond, courtesy of Matt Money Smith when you tune in.
Oh, I'm such a bad person.
AM 570 out here in
Los Angeles.
Watching the sunrise.
West Side Highway. And guess who pulled over? As Mayor Bloomberg. He said, hey, is that you, Pat? I said, it is. Got his car and drove away.
The funny thing is I really saw him at the gas station like 2 months ago.
Mayor Bloomberg?
No. Pat O'Brien.
Hey, Buck, check it out. It's my Maserati. What do you think? Slick ride, right? You know what Buck said to me? Who are you?
I saw him at the Super Bowl in New Orleans and just started talking to him, and he just pretended like he knew me.
That's right.
Rolled with it.
I know who you are.
See, but I remember he's CBS basketball.
Damn right
he's
he
NBA
is.
Basketball.
Hey, listen,
tape delay.
Buck, listen. I want to tell you something. There's three guys that built the NBA. All right, Magic, Larry, and me.
Let me tell you something. I absolutely believe that is his frame of mind, too. When you hear him tell the stories about the building.
I told him on CBS. I said, this has tape delay. It's a bunch of BS, all right? You put me out there. Take me on. I'm the face of CBS Sports. You put me out there on the court. I'll do courtside. I'll do it. I invented it. They say Jack Arute invented it. Hell no. It's me. I did it.
Guys, we're about to have AJ Hawk here on the line.
Oh, we are.
AJ and I go way back. We used to go crossbow hunting. That's right. Out in the flats of Iowa. Crossbow hunting for what do they got out there? Boar, right? Right.
Let us be a fly on the wall for that. What's that sound like when you and AJ Hawk are together?
Well, I'll tell you, this usually starts with some French toast at a local diner there. He's salt of the earth, that guy right there. I'll tell you. You know, when he and I hang out, it's pretty great.
What's he say to you?
He says things like, you know, Pat, I admire you. I admire everything about you. I think that, you know, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
Please just go.
I'm leaving.
I don't think you're going to top that. Yeah, there he goes.
He got the rap sent in about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
He's going to run me
Petros
over.
Petros and Money on Fox Sports. We are going, Buck. Are we really talking to Hawk? I don't want games being played with my heart. I don't want to see Buck walk out the door and then hear that Hawk is not joining us. He is going to join us.
That's going to be
all right. Great work, fellas, over these last many months covering the draft. Of course, college football 24/7, the podcast. Look for all the coverage on NFL.com and NFL Network.
They're a little punchy at this point.
Sure they are. Listen, they're like accountants just picking their heads up after April 15th. Sure. This is the first air they've seen now. All right, there they go out the door, and just in time, because Black Tie is giving me a thumbs up that we have Hawk. Real quick, a couple of weeks ago, we had a delightful time getting to know one Brady Quinn, formerly of Notre Dame, of course, right. And then jumped around the NFL, and as of the time of this recording, he's looking to latch on with a new team. I'm rooting for it, because, like I say, we found him delightful. And
great
just
body language.
Yes, he also happens, he's a handsome devil. The other thing is, he happens to be the brother-in-law of the 2013 Shecky Award winner for our favorite football-playing guest on the DDFP here. Real quick, he didn't pick up his phone when we called him when Quinn was in here, though. Real quick, Black Tie, give us a quick taste of the voice message we left for AJ Hawk. Hey Hawk, it's your old pal Damashek and Rank here, and we also have your brother-in-law with us, and we wanted to get you on the podcast. We're sitting here in Studio 66, Kibitzin. No jive. What gives, fella? Yeah, go ahead, Brady. You tell
him. A little disappointing. Real disappointing.
Yeah.
Much like your short game in golf, which we'll soon see in Lake Tahoe here coming up.
Yeah, that went on for about 10, 15 minutes. Anyway, all right, let's talk right now to the man that we're yapping here about. AJ Hawk, what's the poop, fella?
What's happening, guys? Good to be here. Sorry I missed your call when Brady was in there. I feel bad about that.
It was a slap in the face. Yeah, it was a slap in our face.
How long did you let that voicemail go on before you're like, forget it? And you
I listened to the whole thing because it's funny. I saw the call. And obviously, if I don't know the number, I'm not picking up. But luckily, I didn't even see that one because I would have loved to get on there with you. But this whole time, the last like minute, Brady is sitting there going, longest voicemail ever, oh, he's going to kill me or whatever he's saying. So it was hilarious, and you guys would just keep rolling. So I give you credit.
Yeah, Brady wanted to hang up. I saw no reason to do so. I thought you deserved some sort of a punishment for not answering your phone.
It was a delight. What do you mean? I wasn't a punishment. I loved it. It was like I got to listen to the podcast before it was released.
All right, let's talk about all of it. And we'll start off with your Packers. As I told you the last time you joined me, you joined us here on the show, I told you the Green Bay Packers are going to win the Super Bowl. February 2015, Glendale, Arizona. I've now decided that the team you're going to beat is the New England Patriots. So it's probably going to be a tough game. I mean, Tom Brady is very good at football, but I think now with ha-ha, I think you're now all set on defense and beyond. How say you, Hawk?
Well, I think that it's very true that Tom Brady is very good at football. That was a, you know, never truer words have been spoken from you, Damashek. But I love it. I love your confidence in the pack. And the good thing about you is I know that you're not going to sit there and blow smoke and beat around the bush. You know, you're going to tell me if you don't think we are going to win.
You your defense isn't, you know, keeping up its end of the bargain. I've told you that to your face. I appreciate that. That you compliment that.
You're a man of honor. I like that. You're like Tom Cruise in the movie where he's a drunk. I can't think of the name right now. He's an honorable man.
That's very flattering.
Cocktail was the movie, guys.
You're like Tom Cruise when he was drunk.
Wait, how would you even...
No, not Cocktail. The movie when he's the warrior.
When he learns to be a samurai. Last Samurai.
That is a Tom Cruise movie I have seen, guys.
Wow, yeah. Black Tie, good for you.
By the way, I knew Cocktail because Matt Money Smith is back here with me, and he threw that one out there. So I just I thought I'd act like I did know it.
Hey, AJ Hawk.
But he didn't drink in them.
Oh, Black Tie, the producer, has seen 4 movies. I don't know if we've asked you this before. He has a bunch of things that prevent him from seeing movies, like he doesn't see Tom Cruise movies. He doesn't see Tarantino movies, sports movies, anything that was released prior to 94 and so on. Let's see if you can crack the code. See if you can name a movie that Black Tie has seen.
What about Dumb and Dumber?
Ooh, that's a great one. That's right at 94, too.
That's right around.
All right. What do you say, Ranked? Has he seen it?
I saw his facial reaction when AJ said that, so I'm like, I'm going to recuse myself from it.
I'm going to say he has seen it, and you, Rank, feels good. All right, Black Tie, lay it on us here.
Guys, I have seen Dumb and Dumber.
All right. Actually, that's a buzz. I think you're not supposed to ding.
Well, it's correct.
No, it was correct.
Hawk got it right. Yeah, right.
But I will tell you this. Another rule to my movie seeing, Will Ferrell movies, not a huge fan.
He basically doesn't like anything aside from soccer.
You need to live a little bit, Black Tie. That sucks, man. You're missing out on all kind of great movies.
I'm a TV show guy.
But
that's
what
I do. Homeland, Game of Thrones, the good stuff.
What if Will Ferrell is not playing a central character? Where does that?
He's not the guy who sings "Happy," Rank. I think you're getting him confused
with Perry Farrell.
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
Let's get back on track, guys. 2014 draft.
You're right.
Black Are you Tie. Serious?
Thank you for that. Now, Black Tie with a sober thought that we need to talk about the 2014 draft with an NFL football player. So let's do it. What do you think about Ha Ha?
I like him. I just got back from the from our offseason stuff, and they're all here. I gave him a ride down to our indoor facility this morning. He's a great kid. I think he is going to be a monster for us. So anyone that, especially a DB that comes from a Nick Saban coach team, they know what they're doing and they don't mess around. So I'm looking for big things from him.
So you get the job of giving him a lift then to Lambeau. So you're in Green Bay then right now.
Yeah, like our place is set up a little different. All of our meetings and walkthroughs and weight room and cafeteria, whatever, that's in the stadium. That's underneath the stadium. But then our indoor facility is like across a couple parking lots and across like the one little main road in Green Bay. So we have to drive. So even like during the season when we break meetings, we get our shoulder pads on, everything. Take your helmet and you go get in your car and you drive like 500 yards down to the indoor facility.
I thought that was isn't the thing that kids give you their bikes?
Yeah, that's the bike thing, but that's only in training camp where the kids come when practice is open to the public.
So what do you say to a guy like HaHa? What kind of questions does a 21, 22-year-old kid have for a guy who's been in the system? Does he say, like, hey, where's a good place to get a hamburger? Or is Coach McCarthy nice? Or is Dom Capers going to yell at me? Like, what kind of questions do they ask?
Well, usually they're pretty quiet, you know, when guys come in, just because it was really their first day with us doing, like, our walkthroughs and workouts with us. So they're all pretty quiet. You can tell they just keep their head down and work hard. So I kind of have to engage in conversation, you know, just normal things. Ask them where they're from. He's from Orlando, Florida. I know that much. But stuff like that. Now, they ask what kind of guy Coach McCarthy is. What do you mean, Damashek? He's a Pittsburgh guy. So I tell him, first of all, he's tough as nails.
Yes.
Honorable.
Yes.
And he loves the Pirates and he loves the Penguins.
And I even saw him at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and I asked him what his favorite meat to get on a Primanti sandwich is, and he got that right. He said capicola, which is one of the two correct answers, pastrami or capicola. So, yeah, he's a good
sure
man in my book.
You, like, I'm sure he told you about Ying Ling beer and everything. So, yeah, I mean, you guys, with your Pittsburgh roots, you guys, you never stray. Like, is there anyone that grew up in the Pittsburgh area and kind of disowns it and won't claim Pittsburgh?
I have I can't see the forest for the trees, but yeah, it does seem to me that people who leave Pittsburgh, even if they do leave it, they go out. Like I always say, I didn't leave it in the rearview mirror. I'm just out evangelicizing. I'm spreading the good word about the city on the banks of the Three Rivers. It is weird. I mean, there's no fan base, I would say, in pro sports or in Americans pro sports that turns out the way Steelers fans do around the country. Why do you make eyes, Rank? Who
really
does that better?
Have you ever been to a Pirates game?
I'm talking about the Steelers.
No, but it's the same thing. The Steelers, because they're good, of course your fans show up. And a lot of them...
Well, I mean, there are other teams that are good. What do you mean?
But a lot of them probably aren't even from Pittsburgh.
Do Packers fans turn out anywhere you go in the country?
Yes, they're all over the place. Oh,
come on. But not on the level that Pittsburgh fans do.
No.
That's
silly. I would say the Packers fans turn out more than the Steelers fans do.
That's ridiculous. God. Now you're just
easy.
Trying to make trouble.
I'm not even trying to make trouble.
Get some death threats tonight.
But all right, so you get so HaHa in the fold, then Aaron Rodgers gets a new wide receiver. Does Aaron Rodgers say to you, or do you guys casually, you know, now that the draft's over, maybe you can tell us, does Aaron Rodgers say, hey, listen, I want the team to be good, but the fact of the matter is these guys better get me a new wide receiver. They haven't gotten me anybody good in a couple of years. I need a new one, and it better be good. Does a guy like that say to McCarthy and Thompson, this is what I want? Or do you, as a leader of the defense, do you and Clay get together and go to Capers and on up and say, like, listen, man, we're out on the field. We really need a safety here.
No, I don't know who you think we are, well, don't put me in Aaron's category. I'm not even on the same, I don't live on the same planet that Aaron.
Oh, I have some self-esteem. You can say what you want. You've been there forever.
Oh, I have great self-esteem. Don't worry about that. Frankie and Danishek. But, that's the thing. At least, I don't know what other teams are like, but here, that does not happen. If they do, no, that never happens because we don't know. The coaches don't know who we're picking. Nobody knows, really. It's all up to, you know, Ted Thompson is the guy that obviously pulls the trigger and makes all the decisions, but he listens to everybody that feeds him that information from all year, you know, and does these reports on every single player that's coming out. So he takes all that information, goes up into his office, watches all his film, and then that's the guy that is making the final decision every single year. So, no, we don't have any pull, and we don't act like we do.
I'm sort of surprised by that, legitimately. We hear Kobe Bryant say, hey, they better consult me before they hire the coach, and the management seems to say we're not going to ask Kobe that. But I got to think that, you know, I think John Elway talks to Peyton Manning. I think he says, what do you think we need? I have to think that John – do you think that John Elway doesn't say to Peyton Manning, hey, this Cody Latimer kid, he's nice and long. What do you think of him? Would you rather throw to him versus blank? You don't think that happens?
Oh, no, I do think that happens. I think more offensively. I'm speaking for myself and anyone on defense. Mm. You know, defensively, maybe a guy like Ray Lewis, he could kind of petition to get a big monster in front of him. You know, they got a guy like Haloti Ngata years ago who's just amazing, one of the best in the league. Stuff like that. It happens in different places. I think it depends on the organization, what kind of relationship the guys have, and who the people are making the decision. You know, a lot of teams, it depends, you know, is the owner stepping in? I know there's all this, well, and there's some debate if Cleveland's owner stepped in to take Johnny Football and all that. So we don't have an owner. We don't have anything like that. So I'm sure Aaron, though, gives his, he's not scared to give his opinion and what he thinks on what they, who they should take. So I'm sure he told Coach McCarthy, you know, sitting back on the back porch talking about, you know, where, what suburb of Pittsburgh Aaron's going to buy his future house in, drinking a couple of Yinglings. I'm sure they talk about it.
All right, let's talk about the big story real quick of the draft. It's amazing. It's really erased all the Johnny Football and other talk. Is the Michael Sam stuff? How do you react to it? What did you think of the big kiss? Which, you know, a lot of people that they don't care in principle, but then they saw that, they didn't care for that, and so, you know, what reaction to the whole thing? The NFL. What would it be if the Packers had taken him? All that.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about something that's polarizing the country right now. In his jersey, like what him and Johnny Football's jerseys, 1 and 2 for rookies, whatever,
yes,
for sales. But I don't see the big deal and why it's such a crazy story and why it's got to be everywhere. It's just not that big a deal to me. I think when you make something a big deal about it, it almost it shows that you're, I don't know, that you're not progressing with the times, you're stuck in the past or whatever. And one thing that bothers me, regardless, so ESPN covered him and his boyfriend kissing or whatever at the draft. I was traveling at that happened. I didn't see it. I've obviously seen the highlights that they keep showing. But the thing that I don't understand is when I've heard parents say, how do I explain that to my 7-year-old son or 10-year-old kids? I'm like, first of all, if you're going to, that's you as a parent. That's our job as parents, I think. Rank, do you have kids, Rank?
Yeah. I do not.
Okay, whatever.
I have nieces and nephews, but I get the point.
That's the thing. That's our job as parents, is to handle situations like that. What else are you doing as a parent if you're not trying to teach your kids how to live in the real world? And they're going to see that when they go anywhere. So I don't understand when someone's trying to blame it like they have issues trying to explain stuff to their kids. No, I look at that as a learning opportunity for my kids if they do see it. I'm not going to hide them from things. So I just don't understand why we have to make a big deal out of everything.
Yeah, like Michael Sam can't kiss the person he loves because you're afraid to talk to your child.
Exactly. Why don't you sit down and explain it? Yeah, how about you? That'll make you a better – you grow as a person thinking like, okay, maybe this is going to be a little – how do I go about this? What should I do? Well, I don't know. Research it a bit and talk to some people who you respect and figure out how to handle it.
Listen, I think you're right, Hawk. But to answer your question, why is it a big deal? It's because there are people. I mean, listen, you look at Donald Sterling and any sort of, you know, not that they're the exact same sort of thing, but it's, you know, comparable in that it's about intolerance and hate and all that kind of stuff. And it is good when these situations come up, you know, on both ends of it. If we say a man kissing another man on camera is a form of free speech or you know, the right to live freely, in the same way, I celebrate, you know, I get tweets and everything when I say good for Michael Sam, people say, oh yeah, or if I denounce Donald Sterling, people will tweet me, oh yeah, well, you're all for free speech until someone says something you don't like. Oh, quite the contrary. I'm all for free speech, and as a result, I love when people use that right to humiliate themselves. They think they're saying, yeah, you all right, you've used your free speech, Donald Sterling, and now your life is going to crumble. Now, a separate conversation is whether or not his Fourth Amendment rights are being violated by releasing a private recording, but that's a conversation for another time. Similarly, Michael Sam has now done what he's free to do now, and a lot of people don't like it. They think that somehow the Bible trumps that, or whatever their moral qualms are with that. Listen, this is reality in the 21st century, and for it to be put in your face like that for an audience that wasn't expecting it. It's one thing to play to the home crowd. It's another thing for a football watching crowd to see that. Oh, a gay man, what's this going to mean? That's what it's going to mean. It happened that fast. He gets drafted, and now he's kissing a man on TV. There's no, you know, unringing that bell, as they say, and it moves us forward as a society, whether you like it or not. I think you're exactly right, Hawk.
Yeah, I mean, I understand they say you don't want to talk about sexuality or religion, you know, politics. That's the first way to alienate yourself or get in arguments with people. But that's when if you want to get something done, you want to live in the real world, you have to kind of talk about it, because that's where real people talk and that's how real people live, you know. And like you said, bam, it happened. He's drafted. He's excited. It happened. Even if it took people by surprise or it shocked you or whatever, yeah, you're allowed to be shocked. That's your right. But that doesn't mean you can sit there and you should be able to send the kid death threats and wish harm upon somebody, whether you agree or disagree.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the point, is that to me is I like seeing that stuff because people don't like it, and then they expose themselves by saying out loud, I don't like that, and then you see what happens to them. Those people get exposed. They think they're making an important statement, and they are, which is to expose themselves as a lunatic. You know, I'm all for people incognitoing or sterling. We have to figure out what we're going to do going forward. Are we going to call it incognitoing yourself?
Yeah, because now it's taken a different meaning.
Yeah, right.
Because usually when you're
incognito, right, it's a new thing.
I didn't have to keep explaining that, but yes.
Anyway, Hawk, all right. Good stuff for me on that one. What about my new friend, Ryan Shazier of the Pittsburgh Steelers, formerly of your...
How do you get him to tweet? I'm sorry to cut you off there, but how do you get him to tweet something about the Penguins? You just grabbed him right after he got drafted?
I grabbed him. Yeah, listen. Coach Kamish Goodell and I... We're sitting backstage, and I said, hey, Kamish, I want to talk to this Shazier kid. And he said, yeah, all right, Sheck, let's figure that out. And, yeah, we got together, and he recorded a nice message that I knew would play to the fans in Pittsburgh. He said, let's go, Pens, beat those Rangers. Sadly, it hasn't worked out so far, but hopefully that'll turn.
Have the Penguins won since
they
recorded that?
Don't worry about it, Rank, what's happened. Talk about Ryan Shazier and what you know about him from Ohio State.
Oh, he's an absolute stud. I mean, I watch all the Ohio State games, obviously, and that dude is always out there making plays. And I think what kind of catapulted him for sure into the first round was when he went a 4.3 some 40. You know, that's just lightning speed, and he's such an athlete, and he can do everything. He comes off the edge, rush the passer. He can also play inside. He covers guys. So he's kind of what they're looking for in inside backers, you know, and for him to be the first inside backer taken, number 15 overall, especially to a great organization like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Man, I couldn't see a better fit. So, and he's a great kid all around. So, I think it's just it was a no brainer for them.
He doesn't have eyebrows, though.
Yeah, why not?
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's your new thing too.
Maybe I will. I don't know. I saw Rank commented about my haircut or whatever. Maybe I should shave my eyebrows off.
Unity for the Buckeyes in the pro ranks, yeah.
And realize anytime I'm commenting on somebody's hair, it's purely out of jealousy.
Rank, even if you 100% were making fun of me, I don't care at all. I understand. I got a weird haircut right now.
You know what? It's warmed up to me. I think it was the angle I was watching it on the in-house feed here, and I'm like, that's really striking. But you
it's
know what?
Really weird.
I appreciate I appreciate you went out and did it though, and you have no shame.
Hey, I tell people all the time. You're right. I don't have any shame, and I just get bored, and I go down to this salon in Columbus, like downtown Columbus area, and there's a bunch of
a salon.
Yeah, it's where my wife gets her hair cut. You know, my girl Michelle cuts my hair. She's got blue hair and sleeves, full sleeve of tattoos.
Of course, she
and
does.
So she's kind of like pushing me forward, you know, into the new millennium, and I see all these little skinny hipsters walking around, and I was like, just give me the poor man's version of what they have. So that's what I got.
Where do you come down on, like, pedicures and manicures?
I've never gotten one, honestly. I would admit to you 100% if I had.
I've
never gotten one.
All right, that's your off-season chore. You got to have a pedicure.
It's a little fancy for a man to go to a salon after Brady Quinn told us when he joined us that you walked around the streets of Paris in your armor wear, whatever it's called. What's it called?
Under Armour clothes.
Yeah, like my workout, my sweatpants. Yeah, that's why when after that I wanted to get on. I wish I would have answered the phone so bad. I wish I would have got home in time because it's true, man. So we went to Europe for like 9 days or something. Brady must have packed 19 different outfits per day. We come out and walk the streets, and Brady's wearing like a full duster, like Wyatt Earp. and he has those big scarf deals, like the fancy scarf. This was before scarves were in, too.
They're still not in.
I didn't know they were in yet.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
For men.
Right. They're not for me. And so they would, he'd come down in these crazy, and I'm like, Brady, what are you doing? I've worn the same sweatpants 9 straight days. Brady, you know, just looked at me like I was so beneath him.
He's a quarterback. He's a pretty boy. I want to see him in the NFL, though, Hawk. That's what we got to make happen here. He was such a delightful guy. And as I said to him, it's not trying to curry favor with him. I feel like Vince Young and Jimmy Clausen and Brady Quinn, all these conversations about, oh, no one can ever find a quarterback. How about these guys who just seem like they got about, you know, 2.5 quarters to prove themselves? We've got to get Brady Quinn a gig now for 2014.
Yeah, I know. He needs to – I think he almost is about 100% healthy from his back. I'm sure he mentioned something like getting some back surgery. And he once he gets that all situated, I think he'll go past the physical and someone will give him a shot. So, yeah, you're right, though. What a good dude, you know, when getting serious. He's a really, really great dude that works so hard. And, like you said, what a handsome devil.
Isn't oh, he, huh? Listen, he is. He immediately vaulted into my top five best-looking QBs, although he may have been replaced after I met Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, that's a handsome young fella.
Okay.
Yeah, Garoppolo. I you know what? It sounds like hyperbole, Hawk, but I mean it. I think that now the Tom Brady-Jimmy Garoppolo duo now trumps the most handsome quarterback duo in NFL history, Mike Tomczak and Jim Harbaugh of the Chicago Bears from a generation ago.
Oh, man. Tomczak, you're throwing out a great bucket right there. Man.
That's right. I did. Yeah, you're right.
You're right. That would be, man, yeah, you might be right because Tom Brady has, like, this mysterious, weird, like, handsome, like, what can't he do, like, he has it all type thing, you know, so he's got that going for him where I think people are just, you know, obviously whatever.
Someone sounds like he's in love.
Yeah, geez.
Yeah, what do they say, girls want to be with him and guys want to be him, and that's what they say.
Right, something like people, that, yeah,
sure.
Money wants to throw in Tom Brady and Matt Castle. He says that's not even close.
Oh, no, I'm going Garoppolo over Castle. I'm sorry, Money, looking. Please.
Hey, have you ever had Castle on here?
No.
You would absolutely love him. Castle might be the funniest guy in the NFL. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, you're kidding me. Well, listen.
You didn't talk to Brady about him either? Brady loves him. I'm telling you, Matt Castle is the man. You need to get him on here.
Oh, Tom Brady doesn't talk to people at my level. Please.
He would. No, not saying Tom.
No,
Castle.
No, Brady Quinn.
Oh, Brady Quinn. Yes, yeah. All right.
Now, Brady Quinn loves Castle.
To my level. What do you mean?
I do want you to pass along a message to Brady Quinn, which is that producer Black Tie immediately said Brady Quinn more handsome than Tom Brady.
Oh, man. Now, that's saying a lot right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Tie. Yep. That's big stuff out of Black Tie. All right, Hawk. As usual, the time's too brief. We got to get your wife, who she's going to be out here because I want to hear what it's like to be the spouse of an NFL football player.
You missed her. She is on the airplane right now flying home.
Are you kidding me? Then why weren't we contacted?
Oh, my gosh.
Why weren't you contacted?
I don't know. I put that on you. Don't act like, oh, I don't. She was supposed to call us. You were supposed to call.
You're right. I should have said so. Maybe I've been concussed. I don't know. I can't believe I didn't contact you. Yeah, she was out there like 3 days going out to the, they have the big flea markets out there. She's an interior designer. So she was out there getting stuff for some clients back in Ohio and visiting a couple of friends and different designers she knows out there. So she had a little
well,
time.
You know what? I apparently somebody doesn't care about trying to repeat as the best football playing guest in the Shecky Awards in 2014. And I just want to say, you know, it's not a threat, but it's a fact, really. Ike Taylor and I played some basketball earlier this year. He's been a lot of fun this year, AJ Hawk.
Man.
Brady Quinn.
What if Brady Quinn beat you?
Then what? What if Brady Quinn beat you for that?
If I lose the Shecky to Brady, I might. You have to put me on suicide watch. I won't be able to come back from that one.
That's
fair.
Sure
you're forgetting Eric Decker.
Eric Decker was a lot of fun. Yeah, we rode around a horse and carriage.
I know. Damashek, I see you all over Twitter. Believe me, you're hilarious. First of all, I love how you've got whatever your sarcastic Donald Sterling tweets too. I'm sure you get some nice responses.
I do.
Some people don't read the sarcasm properly.
No, because
those always go over somebody's head. Because it's always the weirdest thing. If you want to make what you think is an intelligent joke, you'll get like a couple of favorites, and then if you go for the hacky, just like vanilla, just basic sports joke, then everybody just loves it. Oh, applause.
And that's so sad. That's so sad. If you go for that, like you said, that hacky, cheesy bit, and you know everyone's loving it, then you know you're on the wrong path. You need to jump over and get some some real material. And stuff
I know. There are plenty of sharp people out there, Rank. It's not like everybody went to Ohio State, you know. Some people went to Indiana University, you know.
It's a good school, though. Right? Yeah. I'm okay. They're in the Big Ten. But, Damashek, the thing about what I'm worried about, so I was, what, the 2013 Shecky winner, mm-hmm. with the guest?
Right.
I'm worried that I see you everywhere, and I see you talking to all these big-time guys. I doubt I get invites anymore because you're getting so big. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to get picked up. Your podcast is probably going to be like, you'll be like Dan Patrick soon. You'll be all over TV doing this thing. You and Rank, you won't even have me on. I'll be sitting there sending you guys emails just trying to get a 3-minute guest spot.
No, I agree.
Probably. It's looking that way.
Well, I respect your honesty.
We'll figure out something for you to do. Maybe some PA work around the show or something like that. No, of course.
Have you ever produced a podcast?
Oh yeah, Hawk's doing his own show, and I saw you.
I saw you guys on there.
What was with that guy? And I know you got to go, but I'm letting you go now. But real quick, I saw you a week or two ago, kibitzing live on somebody else's live streaming video podcast, and the guy was talking all sorts of dirty talk. I don't like you in that atmosphere, all the F-bombs and everything. I don't know. Who's the guy you were talking to a week or two ago?
He Aubrey for the Honest podcast. It's a supplement company. They're like a lifestyle type, whatever. But, yeah, I went on there. He wasn't too bad. I mean, maybe he was just describing some stories he was telling me. He did maybe cuss a few times, but he was online. So, you know, Damashek, I can't ever knock somebody and try to, I'm no one for censorship. You know that.
I see. All right. Fair enough. I just, you know, I like.
He's a good dude. He's a really good dude, but I hear you. I understand. I didn't go back at him like that if you paid attention.
No, you didn't. And I appreciated that. Yes. Some people, you can stay up on high when people have to dig down in the sewers to make their point with their dirty talk. No, I kid. Listen,
I'm not going to work blue, as they say.
Correct. And lastly, I was touched that I thought of you and the other podcast friend who you may remember, Handsome Hank, and I were next to one another when they played I'm Proud to Be an American in Radio City Music Hall, and Handsome Hank and I both connected on you being your favorite song.
Embraced and shed a few tears.
We did, because we know that you shed a tear whenever that song's on, so
every time. They didn't, and you know, after we did that podcast, people were like tweeting me, and some people were upset, which was awesome. That was my favorite part, that was one of my favorite songs. And then some people, which absolutely blew my mind, had never heard the song.
Wait, has Black Tie ever heard that song?
That's a good one. That obviously would have been your walkout music, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
As I say on the Sheck Report this week, I think mine would be, the more I think about it, NFL Films music. Dun, 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 dun. That would be awesome. Walk out to that.
Okay, that would be great, but we know you're just a corporate shill, so that's why you do it. They're part of your, aren't they part of your network?
Keep it up, Hawk! You know what? I'm going to leave you with this. It's not even Memorial Day. There's plenty of time to turn this thing around, but taking pot shots at me is no way to repeat as the Shecky Award winner in 2014.
Well, I had to
you think about
I
that.
I learned from the best, Mr. Dave Damashek, that if I see someone speaking in cliches or just giving what you think you want to hear, I have to call them out on it, right?
No jive. I appreciate it, Hawk, and listen, let's get Brady Quinn a job because I don't want you to have to pay for his next trip to Europe. He's got a big scarf collection to maintain, apparently. So we got to get him a gig there. And listen, I want you to come out to Los Angeles before things get too hot and heavy for you in the football season. But either way, we'll stay in touch. Keep on working at it. And let's get this thing turned around and see if we can't get you at least into the finalists for the Shecky Award winner before the end of the year.
Give me a top three. I know you've had some great guys that are in the running. So as long as I'm in the top three, I'll be all right. And we'll see where we can go from there.
All right. You're the best, Hawk. Great speaking with you, and we'll look forward to kibitzing with you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Say hello to Haha for
us. Good to hear you.
Yeah. There he goes, the great AJ Hawk. We tease him because I think he is still in the running. Wait. You know what? May as well have that conversation right now. Black Tie, jump in as well. Who among the football-playing guests that we've had in 2014 would you say? Let's say the Shecky
halfway
Award.
Through. It's almost halfway through,
right.
Guys.
It's yeah. fair enough to look at that. Yeah. We can. And I'll tell you this. I've said this about another category. Maybe it's the grandfather. It's the granddaddy of all Shecky Awards is the Fruit of the Year category.
Right.
This year has been not good for fruit. 2013 was so delicious. Peaches and strawberries and pineapple and beyond. And I can't remember how – I can't think of more than two or three nice fruit experiences I've had in 2014. How say you, Rank?
That's tough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I say, we're moving into the prime time
for
fruits.
Season.
But we live in Southern California. It's
like
really supposed to be year-round.
It's like
year
being
round.
In May and being like, you know, I haven't seen any great football games this year.
I'd like to think in 2014 that they're doing some pretty good thing in the fruit labs and they're making it tasty year-round, but not so far this year. Either way.
You got to wait till the Bing cherries come out.
I know. People sing songs about the Bing cherries. You and your pal Adam Carolla, he also loves the Bings.
I actually did write a song about them.
I think Carolla likes the Rainier cherries. Is that something?
No.
Rainier cherry? Anyway, best football playing guest, Black Tie. How say you?
Sleeper. I'm going to throw it to our main man who came on the show and actually showed off his talent, Nate Burleson. You know, he came in here, dropped the first ever DDFP freestyle and... you know, crush the building.
Boy, oh boy, that's true. Nate Burleson was great. Also, Michael X. Bennett was great right after the Super Bowl. He was dynamite. Mm-hmm. Eric Decker was very nice as we went around the horse-drawn carriage ride in New York City in Central Park. I think that's still up there at NFL.com if you want to track that down, by the way.
Yeah, I'm in the mix. I'm doing my thing in Studio 66.
There
little
he is.
Tease of what Nate Burleson did back on a couple of 10, 15 episodes ago.
The aforementioned Ike Taylor. He has his own podcast now in Pittsburgh. I went on that last week. It was fun times catching up with him. But yeah, he's been a repeat guest now. In fact, we should kibitz with him sooner rather than later because he felt about a month before the draft that the Steelers needed to go cornerback. He was rooting for Justin Gilbert, or actually who he was rooting for was Kyle Fuller. And then Darquez Denard was there, but then he decided a week before the draft, Ike Taylor did, need to go defensive line, build from the inside out. So I'd be interested to hear what he had. By the way, the Steelers, it's interesting to me that a lot of the teams that are getting high draft grades for what they're worth didn't address what would seem to be their primary need.
Like, I thought we were just talking about
I know, we are. We'll get back to that in a second. Please, bear with me.
I got a new segment, by the way, to wrap the show with.
It's Black Tie's hypocrisy. I thought we were talking about this. Well, let me just finish my thought on
just
this.
Just a heads up.
And then he has to jump in. Oh, by the way, I have a new segment I want to introduce. Can I finish this thought?
Go ahead.
The Steelers' greatest need going into the draft was thought to be corner. They barely addressed it. They did in the fifth round, which is not really addressing it at all. You know, in the first couple rounds or three rounds are the guys that are 100% going to make the team. Everything else is pretty much a coin flip, I would say. The Houston Texans, similarly, Tom Savage in the fifth round isn't exactly addressing the quarterback situation. I would have thought they might go, you know, A.J. McCarron or Derek Carr. I anticipated Derek Carr at the top of two. I was certain that
the Texans?
Yeah, why not? Derek Carr is, that would seem to fit what Bill O'Brien looks for in a quarterback.
They had his brother when the franchise first started.
I don't know how it's possible that didn't occur to me. It's a completely different regime and everything else, but I wonder how much that affects it. Yeah, Rick Smith's like,
tons.
I wasn't me who did the draft. Bill O'Brien, well, I had nothing to do with his brother.
Believe me, I would have liked to have seen
that's
it.
That's a great point. But in this city, that won't go over. If we bring in David Carr's brother, no. It's
not happening.
That's a non-starter for us.
It would have been hilarious. I would have liked to have seen it.
But so they don't address quarterback, which, again, was their greatest need, and yet you would say that was, or I would say that was one or the second or third best draft of anybody. And then the Rams, I think, if you didn't say the Texans, I would say the Rams had the best draft, and they also didn't do anything at quarterback. And it's interesting, given that Sam Bradford is in what potentially is his last year, and that team's ready-made for the playoffs, you would think. That defense should be mighty, at the very least. And they still have Tavon Austin in year two. You know, that's the thing. We talk about Jarvis Jones with Pittsburgh and his need to emerge. But a lot of these guys, you know, they get a year delayed. Basically, they're on redshirt. You know, Jonathan Cooper. And there are a lot of guys that, from injuries or anything else, or maybe that just takes them a little while while to get used to the pro waters. But a lot of guys in year two now have to take a big step. But Bradford now is, this is the year. If he doesn't do it, then they'll let him go. They'll let him walk away. And they really didn't replace him. So it's a curious spot that other, you know, it's, I guess, sort of like the Cincinnati Bengals. They're all set everywhere except possibly at quarterback. Now, I think Sam Bradford has the bigger upside, but it's been now 4 years for him in the NFL. Time for him to deliver. Conversely, the Bengals did address quarterback and Andy Dalton in that same spot now in a critical time for him. They will let him walk. They're not going to go.
They're not handing the ball over to A.J. McCarron.
I disagree with that. There's three guys that could turn it over. Here's a prediction for you. You want a bold prediction? Because he's struggled in the past. Andy Dalton had, if you look at his numbers at the end of 2013, you would say, wow, he had a very nice offensive season. But if you go back and look game to day, he had a couple of two-game, three-game stretches where he was crummy. If that happens in 2014 with a team that presumably is going to have a lot of expectations this year, I wouldn't be surprised in the Boo Birds and everything else. He might crumble, and if he starts to struggle, why wouldn't the Bengals say, let's throw McCarron in there and see what he has?
At the end of the year?
I predict he's going to start a game without injury to Andy Dalton at some point.
McCarron is one
he's
of those...
the same. I think he's sort of the same guy. Either one of them have some spectacular upside? They both cut the figure of a capable NFL starter, I think.
No, McCarron's
fine.
Coming,
he's not
coming,
great.
He's coming from a good NFL or a good college-ready program, and he'll be good breaking down film and doing things of that nature, but if the Bengals don't make the playoffs, when St. Louis doesn't make the playoffs, those teams will have to get rid of their quarterbacks, and they'll jump up for one of the three guys who will be coming out next year, Winston, Hundley, or Mariota. Those three guys could go 1, 2, 3 in the draft next year.
Boy, that's an interesting point since we're 11 months and 3 weeks away from the draft. That's so right. I haven't started to think about that.
Like all three of those guys, I would have put ahead of Blake Bortles.
Yeah, great way to look at it. Yeah, all right. Black Tie is holding his arms out as though he's being crucified. What are you suffering for behind the glass, Black Tie?
We got to mention this kid.
Oh, remember? Yes. We met a lot of people outside Radio did. City and inside Radio City. It was very nice of people to come up and say hello. One of which, Max, was the real star there.
He was a star. He came in. He was in the Irish bar at 1 a.m. after Thursday night. Walks over
probably
to the
11
table.
Or 12 years old, yeah. Maybe 10, maybe 13, something like that.
Walks over to the table to say hello.
And then knew everything about that there is to know about DDFP.
Then the next day, he comes around. And
not a fan of black ties.
No. We introduced him to everybody, and then one of our executive producers, Mark Brady, goes, hey, what do you think of black tie? And he goes, his body language thing's a little weird. Was, I believe, his exact
quote. What he said. All right, just to finish it up, the best guests so far this year, Hawk's always great, and we've talked to him at least, three times this year, but his brother-in-law, Quinn, very charming. Mm-hmm. He came out of nowhere.
Told fun stories, too, yeah.
Yeah. Sway Ike Taylor's has been
Sway or is it Swag?
He just changed it. That's what made me think of it when I was on his show last week. He announced that he doesn't want to be Swag. He doesn't want to be Swaggy anymore. He's now Sway.
Sway's already a person.
What do you want me to tell you? I don't know.
Tell
it's his decision. I don't
know.
Your
friends with him be like, there
Swag.
I know to tell him that he's,
I don't know who Sway is. Who is Sway?
Are you kidding me?
The guy who does the skateboarding stuff?
No, the guy who is on MTV forever.
Yeah, didn't he do the...
He wears like the little... No, you're talking about... I forget the ESPN guy that does... They both... Yeah, Sal. You're talking about Sal Masters. I didn't even know his last name.
Sway! I know who you're talking about.
Sway has a little head...
He took over for
Kurt
Loder.
Scarf thing going on.
Yeah.
A long time ago. And he's somewhat famous.
I don't think that's the way it went. I think that Kurt Loder passed the torch to Tabitha Soren, who perhaps passed it to Sway.
No,
but I think
Kurt
you're skipping
Loder,
some important names.
Kurt Loder was there forever.
Listen,
for a long time.
It went Martha Quinn. Then it went to the guy who had the Adrian Curry as well. He had long blonde hair.
Yeah.
Then Kurt Loder came in, and he legitimized MTV News.
And then Kennedy was in there for some.
Kennedy mixed in there as well. Tabitha Soren, and now Sway.
I love you guys' knowledge of, you know. pop culture way back in the day. It's really impressive.
Way
however,
back in
though,
the day, 11
this,
years ago.
This leads into the this segment. This leads into relevant. The new segment, as we just knew that. Found out Damshek doesn't know who Sway
is. Did we not decide? I was going to say something about our best guest.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, I love that you're throwing all these things. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the lead up to the 2014 NFL draft. Oh, maybe Mack will go first overall. Maybe they'll go Manziel or Bortles. Dude, A.J. Hawk is the clowny of
I see.
Our guests, and he's going to win.
But don't
he's
you see?
Already, no, don't.
He's maybe resting on his laurels, and he needs a little fire
really?
Lit underneath him.
After yeah, that,
maybe he does.
We left him a 30-minute voicemail. Not only was he not upset, he was delighted by it that he got a chance to listen to
don't
the podcast.
Don't question my coaching techniques. Do you understand?
He's not listening now, so it's fine.
Well, his father might be, and he'll pass the message along. I want Hawk. I want him staying sharp. You understand?
You want to talk about somebody who knows how to motivate Hawk? It's his father.
Yeah.
Who raised an NFL football
well,
player.
When he hears this, so. I think he'll deliver my message. All right, Black Tie, go ahead. Tell us about your precious new segment idea.
Well, during the interview with Hawk, you mentioned wear armor, or you were trying to say Under Armour.
All right, whatever.
Again, showing your lack of what's going on in today's
don't
world.
Don't talk to me about what we know about it's, don't
you know,
know about.
I think it's upon me to sort of help that, for, you know, help you.
You're the perfect person. The person yeah. who can't make any pop culture references is
well,
going to tell me about pop culture.
From 20 years ago, I can't. No, totally. But in today's world, so the new segment here is called hashtag this, hashtag that. I'm going to give you two topics that's trending right now on social media.
All right.
Fairly new. You know, people are buzzing about it. And you can only pick one.
Okay,
go ahead.
You got
to give your thoughts on just one of them. You can't pick two.
Lay it on me.
All right. So the two topics here over the last couple of days. The big fight, or not, I wouldn't say fight, like the big attack from Solange on Jay-Z with Beyonce standing
by. I watched the video of that.
Well,
yeah.
Hold on. The second topic you can talk about is the reveal today of Ben Affleck's Batman suit. So go. Hashtag this, or hashtag that.
Why do I have to choose? If I
you
want
to
talk
choose.
About both,
no,
why
can't
I?
You can't do both. That's you got to choose. Pick
I want
to
talk about both. How about that? All right, I'll talk about. Let's talk about Batman. Although I would love to know if anybody has that. Has the mystery of why she was kicking Jay-Z been cracked yet? Is
no, we have our own Crystal Rich on it, though. She's
how does it? Why wouldn't so no? So why wouldn't Jay-Z release a statement saying whatever as an excuse? Can just say
just whatever.
Make up some inane thing like you know oh he you know I wasn't done with that last scallop and he took it off my plate. Just something that's inane so that it doesn't blow up into
like,
some massive
oh,
story. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Oh, I hate when people do that.
Scallops.
You know? Oh, I can relate to
scallops
that.
Scallops are so 20 years ago.
No.
It's ceviche now.
What?
I'm just joking.
Listen, scallops have never gone
don't
out
go
of style
rails,
in me. I like a nice grilled scallop.
Okay.
It can be delicious.
Okay. As you were saying, bat soup.
You had it on pizza.
You know what's really coming on big, though? And over the last, like, 3 years now, there's a little bit of old news. But the work that they're doing with Brussels sprouts, I couldn't have imagined this. If you would have told me in 2005 that the hardest charging vegetable out there right now, be on the lookout in the teens of the 21st century, look out for the Brussels sprout, I would have called you crazy. I would have kicked you out of here. But lo and behold, delicious.
Still,
just delicious stuff they're doing right
still
now.
Still not a fan.
But all right. Batman. I don't know. What thoughts are there to have? It's a still, a black and white. It looked like all the other Batman stuff to me. I don't know. Was there anything distinctive about it? Did I miss something? Rank, you know comic book stuff better right. than I do. Was there something about that was noteworthy?
No, it looked pretty cool. I mean,
I don't know what Batman and Superman the story is based on. Is there a comic
a lot of people are saying it's based on Frank Miller's novel, The Dark Knight Returns, which essentially an older, more grizzled veteran Batman takes on Superman. He wears like an armored suit, which is what
oh,
the
really?
Suit showed.
They're going to fight?
Wow.
Yes.
It looks more like Jim Lee's Batman.
But Rank is saying it's not even Frank Miller, which everyone else is saying. But Rank,
why would Superman and Batman tussle? That sounds like a terrible idea.
Superman
why would you do that?
There's a little bit of
they're friends.
There.
Why?
Batman, why would Batman
there's
trust
always
an
mistrust.
Alien?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Listen, I know that Bruce Wayne's, you know, had some ups and downs in his life, but mostly they've been ups, first of all. Why would he be so cynical about Superman, who's done nothing but good?
Because
What's Superman? Has he done anything bad to anybody on planet Earth?
If you're not an American, you might not feel that way.
Well, that's an interesting point, except that Bruce Wayne, as far as I know, is an American. I think he was born and bred in these United States. How dare you, sir, to suggest that Bruce Wayne might hail from some other foreign land?
That's not what I'm talking about. I said Superman. Superman's an alien.
Yeah, I know, but so why would Batman not like him? Superman's pro USA, man. He's USA all the way.
Batman is cynical. He's a detective, you know? So he's not just going to believe some alien came from
I don't think he's formally a detective. I think he maybe is self-entitled.
Is Sherlock Holmes formally a detective?
He probably does have a degree.
He was in Scotland Yard.
That's what it is. Bruce Wayne is just an eccentric millionaire who decided, I'm going to be a detective. I'm going to be a sleuth. You know? Who's he to decide these things?
What if John Taffer just decided to be a
sheriff?
I don't
like it. What kind of thing is this that Superman and Batman are coming to fisticuffs? And the other thing is, I don't care what Batman does, unless he has kryptonite, which is apparently an infinite resource in the world of DC Comics. It's a planet that blew up,
right? But
whatever, 40 years ago, and yet they always can conjure some kryptonite. Because if they don't do that, then there's no way you would ever beat Superman.
First of all, how do you think Superman got here?
What do you mean? He jumped in that capsule.
Okay, and that was...
Or his old man put him in the capsule and dispatched him.
And that was the only bit of debris from his home planet that landed.
I understand there's some in the universe, but the universe is a large place, as I've learned from Cosmos.
Yes, so some of it still lands on Earth, and you don't think Batman would
Lands on Earth? That seems unlikely.
Meteors land on Earth all
a
the
planet
time.
In some other part of the galaxy or universe blows up, and you believe that kryptonite reached Earth? What odds are there of that?
What do you think meteors are?
All right, first of all. And second of all, if he doesn't have kryptonite, then it's not a fight at all. I don't care what Batman puts on his back to protect himself. Superman can punch through anything. Can't he? He just shoots the lasers out of his eyes and kills them. But believe me, I'm a Batman guy. I grew up Batman. I like human beings doing my crime fighting, you know? I don't need any man made out of steel. I'm not a Yankees fan, sir. What are you saying to me? I'm not a New York Yankees fan. I'm not some front runner. Superman, indeed. Give me Batman any day, but I know Batman has no chance if they ever come to blows. Right? What kind of movie is this going to be? Thumbs down.
Let's find out in a couple of years. Until then,
couple of years,
we're out of here.
All right, that's it. Are we doing another? Oh yeah, we got a second podcast coming up this week. Who do we have, Black Tie?
We're going after Raiders pick Khalil Mack.
Ooh,
going after him. Not confirmed just yet.
Terrific. All right, so we'll look forward to hopefully catching up with Khalil Mack. And by the way, the Raiders, as I said to Daniel Jeremiah the other day. If only the Raiders would have kept Valdir, the left tackle that went to Arizona, I think we would universally be saying the Raiders have had a spectacular offseason, and you still might even be able to say that. Yes, long in the tooth free agents, but still some interesting pieces there. Now you have Derek Carr and so on. So I think the Raiders will be fun to talk about with their first-round draft pick if we indeed do get to talk to Khalil Mack. In the meantime, great talking about the draft with our pals Matt Money Smith, who we still have to get for the great sandwich debate. And to Bucky Brooks, make sure you check out their podcast, College Football 24/7, the last one before they take off a well-deserved month or so for a little vacation there. And Rank, all sorts of good stuff up there at NFL.com. We got the Sheck Report, post-draft edition for you, all sorts of other hooey and applesauce. We'll talk with you later on. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.